Hey, everybody. Thank you for staying. Wow. I know some of you, I don't think some of you even got up. You just stayed in the same seat. Thank you for being here. Okay. Is my mic? I have a lot of, I can hear myself, but I got a lot of reverb. Okay, so thank you for being here. I know that we're kind of spread out. So here's what I'm going to ask. This is a big ask. Could we get the people who are in the wings? Can we move closer? Let's get as tight as we can. I want to move this TV over here so it's closer for the deaf to be able to have a line of sight. It's good right there? Okay. So you don't need to see me. They said, we've seen you enough. Hey, thank y'all. Look at this. That's the amen side. We used to do things when people, we asked them to move, we'd sing a song while we're moving. We praise thee, oh God. I don't know what that had to do with anything with moving, but it worked. I know that you've just listened to me for the part of your morning. So thank you for being here. The coffee is still there. The bread is still there. So avail yourself to that throughout this. So let me just kind of give you a little bit of background. And we're going to... let me just slow down. So in the summer, the elders tasked some members of our church with working on refreshing our vision. Our vision statement was originally written in 2007, and before this building, this room was redone, it used to be big banners on the walls. And the biggest thing that we would always say that we will be God's heart to this community. And a lot of the things that I've been preaching through, those are very pretty much the same thing. We've kind of refined those a little bit. But we recognize that since 2007, the D.C. area has expanded quite a bit. So have the housing prices. There are new opportunities. There are new ways that we can have far-reaching and eternal impact. And so we started asking questions of what does that look like? And so this team worked. We developed a list of specific goals. We worked for weeks, 6 weeks almost straight. We broke for Labor Day weekend, but we met every Saturday morning for almost 6 weeks. And sometimes it was grueling. Sometimes we would debate verbiage. We would debate, why are we doing this or what are we doing here? But we started out with looking at where we had been and why we had come to where we were. All we wanted to do was, the task we were given was to come up with some specific goals to accomplish our vision, to see our vision for the future, what does that look like, and to potentially revise and refine the previous vision statement to make sure that it keeps up with who we are today. And so I preached through these various points throughout this month. And I keep saying these things that I use this as being the preamble. So we all know the preamble to the Constitution. It says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, blah, 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 blah. We all know that. That's not the Constitution, right? But what it does is it sets up the Constitution to say, here's why we are writing these things. And so I kept referring to the vision part, the top, those things that I've preached on as the preamble because they set up the why. Why are we doing what we're doing? And so what we set about doing was clarifying the why and setting some goals, setting the what. And then with the goal that the ministries are going to come in and set up the how. Because it's impossible for us to work through everything. That's not going to happen in 6 weeks. But to come there and say, now here's specifically how we're going to do this in discipleship or this in family life. I said this before, but this is not certainty. Okay, this vision statement you're going to hear today is not certainty. It's about clarity. A vision statement is a game plan. So it's not like a blueprint, right? We know the difference between a coach goes in with a game plan, but the other team has a game plan too. And sometimes you have to shift and you have to call audibles. A blueprint, on the other hand, is we having problems with the TV. We're trying to provide an alternate way for the deaf to be able to participate today. So a blueprint is different. If you're looking at building plans, and if you get half a degree off on an angle, it may not be that big a deal at the beginning, but as that continues to grow, it will skew it. And a building that doesn't fit the blueprints correctly can be very dangerous. Now, I know there are engineers in the group. We have engineers in our eldership. It is really hard for them to understand that we won't have everything figured out completely. I mean, think about it this way. I heard it referred to like they were talking about a bridge. You would never tell people the bridge is okay. Like, it's mostly okay. You can drive across it. No, no, no. An engineer says, no, we want to make sure that bridge is perfect before we drive across it. A vision is not a blueprint. Okay? There's no way that we can perceive all of the issues that will happen between now and 2030. That's just impossible. We're not fortune tellers, and even if we were, I don't think we'd be making our money elsewhere. So what you're going to hear today is something that says, here's where we see ourselves in the future. Here is something in 2030 that if we're standing in 2030, this is what we would like to say. Now, this is a draft. It's not a completely like this is set in stone where we're going. We fully believe that we're going to have to tweak this as the years go. I view it as a living document. It's something that's going to have to change. The elders want to hear your feedback. You're here today. I'm so thrilled that you're here, by the way. I'm so thankful because you care about this church. You care about where we're going. And we want you to give feedback. We want to hear, hey, I like this. I don't like this. Can you help me understand more what this means? Please do that. But are we going to have to tweak it? Of course. But we're going to start with a game plan because that's going to help us have a shared understanding of this is what we want to do, this is how we can do this together, and this is why this is important that we try it. So I don't want to talk too much right now. What I want to do is we're going to hear and talk about this document. And the guy's going to pass this out because it's much easier for you to have in your hand. It's on paper. Grab a pen. Mark it up. Please do that. It'll be on screen, but it's too many words for you to be able to follow along and see the full picture. So the guys are going to pass these things out. But what we want to do is anything that we're doing with this comes from a place of worship to our God. We gather as a family to encourage one another and to worship our God. And so we're going to start today with a song, and we're going to start with some time in prayer, because any vision that's worth its weight in a church starts with prayer. And so so we're going to sing. I haven't led singing in a while, and I get feedback about that all the time, too. So let's sing. Ruby's on the slides for me. Ruby, let's go. Let us adore the ever-living God and render praise unto Him who set out the heavens and established the earth, and His glory is manifest throughout all the earth. He is our God. He is our God. There is no one else. There is our God. He is our God. There is no one else. And you can tell I haven't led singing in a while because we up here. I must save you all. We're going to drop down. Hang on. Wait. Oh, there we go. That's where we were. We're going to go down, down. I praise your name, most high and awesome God, and lift my hands unto you. You save my soul on a rugged tree. Now I praise you
and serve you, Lord, throughout eternity. He is our God. He is our God. There is no one else. He is our God. He is our God. There is no one else. You are my God. You are my God. You are my God. There is no one else. One more time. You are my God. You are my God. There is no one else. Oh, and there is no one else.
So I've asked Phil to lead us in some prayer this morning. So let's do that.
Anytime we talk about vision, if we don't bathe it in prayer, then it's whose vision? Ours. And so this morning, we want to just take time to be present. God's present with us. Amen. He's intimately present with us constantly. But this is our moment, and one of many moments, where we can become more present to Him. I know that everybody cannot do this. But as we pray, I would encourage you to kneel with me. That way we can let God know He is God and we are not, and we're not just trying to ask Him to bless what we've already planned. We want to follow what He's already willed. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we read in Your word that where there is no vision, Your people perish, but blessed are those that heed Your instruction. Father, forgive us for seeking after our own limited human vision rather than seeking after Your godly and eternal vision. Forgive us for seeking to place our trust in our own limited view of what we consider is important in our lives and the world in which we live, rather than seeking after the pure perspective of Your eternal plans. For only when we have come to an understanding of Your purposes for the world, can we live in honesty and in humility and seek for Your godly wisdom and Your godly vision. Father, we pray Your will be done on earth, Your kingdom come. For in so doing, we recognize that without the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, returning to rule and to reign over this world, there it will be no rest for humanity and no lasting peace that passes understanding. Teach us to learn Your vision and to pray into Your will, not only in our personal lives and those of our loved ones, but help us also to come to a deeper knowledge of Your greater vision for the future of humanity, when the earth will be filled with Your glory as the waters cover the sea. Help us to soak our hearts in Your perfect desire for humanity and to understand Your greater purpose for all mankind. Give us the wisdom to pray into Your vision, for only as we align our minds to the mind of Christ and our will to Your will through the power of the Holy Spirit, will we ever pray powerful and effective prayers. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, Phil. Whew. Let's not knock that over. Okay. So, everyone has the handout on the back side. Well, I guess the front side that says Fairfax Church of Christ. You have the mission statement. This is who we are. This is what we are about. It comes from the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then also to love your neighbor as yourself. Those are combined in this vision statement. This is the one that you've heard throughout the month. I don't want to spend too much more time on this. The danger is, because I've been preaching through it as bullets every Sunday, The danger is to think it as bullet points, and bullets are things that we check off, versus what we wanted to do as a team was to think through this as a narrative. What would this look like if we were writing about ourselves, about what we want to see happen? And so we took those bullet points, we took the vision points, and we decided, let's take each one of those sentences, each one of those clauses, and let's talk about what that looks like and throw out some ideas. And so what you have on the back sheet, let's just walk through that. So we hope and pray that in 2030, this can be said of the Fairfax Church of Christ. Let's fast forward time. We're at 2030, and we're celebrating what God has done through the work here at this church. This is what we hope and pray can be said, that we are a welcoming, diverse community that provides a haven for everyone where they can belong and serve. You heard that this morning during communion. You heard that several times. We want to make sure that this isn't just a place that people are consumers, but that they're also participants and givers. And we want people to belong. We want our deaf community to feel like they are not a separate wing of the church, but they are as integral part of the church as the hearing. That's our desire. I preached on this, so I'm not going to go into all those details. We also wanted to make sure that one of the ways that people feel connected, we talked about, is we have elders, and we have. Lord willing, we're going to have 4 more elders in a little over a month. And there's something about being known and being seen that are really, really important to people in a church. And we want to help our elders get to know, and we want to make sure that we know everybody. They have shepherding circles, and they have been, that's a task that they have put on themselves to be able to know people, but we want to know people. When people are in the hospital, we want to know about it, but not only just the church staff, we want to help our church family know. If you have a need, something that's going on, and it's a gift that you have, we want to help people know how to get connected there. Lisa Bosley is a wealth of information, but we have to figure out how to help more. We also, Lord willing, one day we'll have transcription services that are perfect. So the second thing says, we provide a place of refuge, walking with people through the challenges of life. We want to put a greater effort and emphasis on things like grief share and celebrate recovery. Not just be something that, oh yeah, we have that, but it's something that we say, this is important because there are hurting people everywhere. Everyone has, as Dave Palmer used to say, hurts, habits, and hang-ups. And so being able to train people to be working in those places, to lift up and grow leaders in Celebrate Recovery. Teresa Roth runs Grief Share, and it's wonderful. How can we help that be a greater resource, and not just for our people, but for our community? Something that we talked about was providing on-site Christian counseling services. So we had a partnership with Safe Harbor pre-COVID, and they had an office down there, and people would come and use that. After COVID, they've had trouble getting counselors to fill spots. But what if, I will tell you, as someone who works in the office, I don't have a number on how many calls we get about this, so I can't share that quantifiably. But what I can tell you is that a lot of times we get questions about counseling. Do we offer counseling? Do we offer, do we have recommendations? We get that frequently. And so the question that we've had is, what if we were able to provide, as a place of refuge, as a haven, that we're able to provide on-site Christian counseling for our church members, for our community, where we're able to help work through spiritual as well as mental healing? So that was a big deal for us. We want to make sure that we are reaching all populations, that we are trying to be all things for all people. We can't be all things to all people. That's exhausting, but we want to provide what we can. Sometimes that's going to be, we're going to have to narrow the focus and go, here's where we're going, here's what we're doing. But ultimately, the goal in this particular section was, we want to be a people that are providing for our community. The next place says that we celebrate the work of God in our lives, and we equip one another to reach out to reach our local and distant communities with the good news of Jesus. Why do we talk about celebrating? Here's the thing. I grew up in the church. And I know that whenever I say something about the churches of Christ, sometimes people bristle at that. But I want you to hear about the churches of Christ. We love God's word. And we love God's people. But we're really weird about celebrating when something happens. I think that's us in general. We're reluctant. In the church I grew up, we were reluctant to clap when there was an accomplishment made. Not my home church. They were pretty good about clapping. But in the church in general, we're reluctant about clapping because who are we giving the glory to? I have kids, and when somebody says something great about my kid and they celebrate my kid, I love it. I love it very much because I'm proud of my kid. And we want to celebrate when good things happen. We've not been good about that. When we've had a women's conference, we've been sometimes silent and negligent about saying, hey, this was wonderful yesterday. We're trying to be better about that. Trunk or treat. Let's celebrate. There are a lot of people, a lot of visitors. And you're like, well, we didn't get connections. We didn't get numbers and all that. No, but they saw us as a place and a presence in our community. And so we want to be intentional about those things. Intentionality is going to be the buzzword for me forever. We want to be intentional. We want to celebrate how God is working in our lives. We want to equip one another. Equipping is a big deal. That's why we gather on Sundays. We are equipping station. And so there's an item here that we put in because we wanted to go, what does that look like? How do we measure that? And people bristle at numbers. I get that. But I have four kids. And if one of my kids disappears while we're at the mall, I don't go, well, I got three. That's enough. I mean, it depends on which kid it is, right? Like, I count because I care about my kids. Why do we have numbers in the book of Acts? It's not because they're trying to go, look how great we were. It was, look how good God is. The apostles didn't celebrate the work they were doing. They celebrated what the Spirit was doing. That's why the book of Acts should be called the Acts of the Spirit rather than the Acts of the Apostles. But we put in some numbers. Our online presence has expanded to reach 10,000 individuals monthly. We wanted to be specific. We live in a world where online is key in a lot of ways, and really we don't do very much with that. It is very time consuming. Online, social media, making sure it is very, very time consuming. During COVID, I lived in my basement, except for Sunday mornings when I would show up here, Phil and I would do conversations. But I lived in my basement, and at times Mary was like, you've got to go to bed. Because I was trying to help do things online and figure all this out. And we want to be intentional about that. And we put a number there because how do you measure that? We want to reach thousands of people for Jesus. But we want to be intentional with that. And then we have seen 200 people come to Jesus. And we're really weird about, we had a lot of discussion about this. Should we put a number on there? And understand that this is all stuff, once again, this was from the vision team. The elders are talking through some other drafts of this. But the reason that we wanted to put a number there, if we just say we want to see people come to see Jesus, yeah, of course we do. But we don't put a metric on there. We haven't set a goal to say here's where we're shooting for. Now, here's the reality. 200 people in 6 years. How many is that, math people, a year? 20? A lot. That's usually my answer. That is a step way above where we're doing right now. And we want to be a part of that. We want to be intentional about making disciples. That's the mission Jesus gave us. My prayer is that we blow 200 out of the water, that God does amazing things through us. But it sets a goal. And we may not have a number on there. It may just say we see hundreds come to see Jesus. Awesome. I'm all about that too. But we want to be intentional about reaching our community. All right. Here's the other thing. We want to seek the welfare of our communities. We've talked about that a lot. Seeking the welfare of our communities. We want to be indispensable. We're going to use our location. We're going to use our resources for spiritual impact. I preached a whole sermon on that last week. We want to be indispensable in these communities. And so that's why we're talking about updating our facility. It's not like there are things that need to be updated. There are things about the building that need to happen. We want it to be flexible. We want it to be accessible. This is also our early learning center. where we provide before and after activities has been established. These are all things that we're trying to work. We want to, and we also want to see it at capacity for that time. We want to be at capacity by 2030. And so what we're going to do this morning is you're going to hear some updates from David Bell and Jason Busby with the Vision 4 team to talk about the building program. And it's going to be quick. It's going to be brief. They're not giving you, like, here's the nuts and bolts and here's plans. But we want to let you know, here's what's been going on. So I'm going to get them to come on up here. But while they're coming up, like, we haven't had an announcement about since 2021, really. I mean, there's been some small things, but not like an update on here's where we're going, here's what's going on. And so it may go, well, what are we doing? We're not doing anything. And I'll tell you, there's been a lot of things happening. You guys, microphone.
You can help out with that. That'd be great.
Phil, where'd that microphone go?
Aha! Thank you.
There's another one here. You can put that on your ear.
One inch away, right? Right here? 1 inch away. And while we get the slides up, I just want to take a moment to recognize that you had a minister giving out quantifiable numbers about how much we want to grow, which I think this has been miraculous. God is already working through us. David Bell, Jason Busby, we want to spend just a few minutes talking to you about the building, Vision Forward. The last time that we met in Mass was 2 Halloweens ago. Always around Halloween for some reason. Not scary, exciting. But what have we been doing for those 2 years? I'll say the biggest thing we've been doing for those 2 years is we were waiting for just this moment where we could come together and talk about the vision of the congregation, not a building as, or a field of dreams, as Robin said this morning. When we talked about it years ago, I talked about how we were against doing that. We wanted a building to follow our vision, not a vision to follow our building. What are we doing? What are we planning to do? And what do we need about this unique location, this resource that God has given us to advance that vision? Vision started out as a way to take care of the building. God gave us this gift. We need to take care of it. And we hadn't been taking care of it. It needed to be fixed. But it could be more than that. It could be something that would help us drive our vision. So in those 2 years, we had met with many family members. We met with 84% of our family members at that time, 84%. And those 16% of you that didn't meet with us, it's because you did not accept our invitation after 3 times. And you know it. And so you can't complain. Then we met last summer with the architects, that aesthetics lab. Who was there for that? There were 70 of us or so. That was a really nice night, and that informs a lot of what we're doing right here, because they wanted to know, what kind of church are you, and how can we design the building around what you're trying to do? That's what we've been doing since then. Also have Vision Forward, the next slide, right? Yep. Okay, we're trying to rehearse this a little bit because Jason and I both love the name, the term Vision Forward. I think we're now at Vision Prehistoric or Vision Backward. We don't know what it is. So we're trying to workshop the name so it fits with Vision. I wanted to call it, I'm an accountant, I wanted to call it the Building Program. Jason's with Apple. He had a lot more stuff, a lot more exciting stuff, and we're still not comfortable with it, but we've come up with another very exciting term.
Building transformation.
Encourage him, please. Everybody encourage Jason. That is fantastic. So we want to tell you a little bit about how the building will change. We're working with some great architects. Many of you met them. We're working with a great builder. How is the building going to change? The first thing is that it's simply going to work. Everything's going to work. That's what we set out to do at the very beginning. Things are not working. The air conditioner doesn't work. There's no sprinkler system. The IT? Yeah. Apple. Yep. I agree. Things just simply did not work. There's some dead spots in the auditorium. There's some cold spots in the back of the building. There will be very much so soon. But we wanted to go beyond that. This is an opportunity to go beyond that. And so it's also going to be multifunctional, and it's going to be built to last. Every space in this building will have multi-purposes, with the exception of the restrooms. There's only two things to do in the restrooms. But they'll be multifunctional. And this auditorium, this 8,000-square-foot auditorium, will not just be a presentation worship space. It will be multifunctional. We have an 8,000-square-foot room that when we put chairs in, we were so amazed at how they looked that we were afraid to move them around because it would destroy the look. But then we forced ourselves with hypothermia. And we had, Carmen, how many people did we have in hypothermia that we could host? 47. Now, that's not enough. The only reason we could host 47 is because our sprinkler systems weren't working. We didn't have a sprinkler system because they're not working because we don't have one. The fire marshal wouldn't let us have more people in the building. If we do have a sprinkler system, is it something significantly more? Could be 100, 1,000. We don't know. But we're going to use our space to God's glory. And it's going to be built to last. Jason talks about, let's talk about the building for the next 50 years. We've had this building. We've been blessed with it for 50 years. Let's build it for the next 50 years. When you were at, the vision statement talks about Haven. When you were here for the aesthetics lab, the architects asked us, what do you want the space to be? How do you want to use it to serve God? And we called it, they came with the term Haven, which I originally did not like, because I thought it was a place that you escaped to. And the architect said, well, David, let's look at the book definition of Haven. All right. And defined it sort of like David Palmer did, but in less militaristic terms, where he called it a base camp. A haven is a place when you're on a journey, you stop for a time to refuel, equip, rest, and get ready to go back out on your journey. We are to serve God. This is not a monastery. This is not a place to hide. This is a place to equip ourselves and to serve God. And so you hear some words that they brought up, that they elicited from us. It's a place to embrace people. It's a place to engage with people, and it's a place to equip. And that's what the building's designed to do. Is there another one? Ooh, we are going to have an integrated Christian school, integrated in many ways. First of all, the building is built for the church family and the mission work that we do. We have a third of our building that is for kids. It's classrooms with little tables and little chairs that right now are not used more than 2 days a week. We talked about how to best use that space. Some people said we should have let the hospital use it for office space, which would be really unkind to make everybody, the adults, sit at tables to their knees. It's a building built for our children's education, but it's a building that right now we don't use 5 days of the week. And it's perfectly fit for a school. And if that school comes in and there's 200, 290 kids in a day and their family members, think how many people we can reach out to that are just coming to our building because we're providing a great education that's integrated in the sense, it's integrated within the work that we do, it's integrated in how it delivers service to the kids, but it's integrated in how we will mission to those people that will become our people. Is that the last one? Okay. Video? Okay. All right. So what's it going to do? We thought we wanted to give a little taste of what the building will look like. We hope that you enjoy it, understand it, get a little bit excited about the building, what it can be. It's not exactly what it's going to be like, but it's based on the floor plans we currently have. If you don't like some of the finishes, neither do I. You don't like some of the colors, neither does Jason. It'll work out. But take a look at this, and Jason's going to explain a little bit of kind of the now and later.
All right, Ben, all you. You can run the video. Thank you. All right, so there's your first look at the fly-through, we call it, of the vision for this building. I think you'd see it really is a transformation. A lot of ideas and a lot of work went into getting that up and running and coming up with that vision of what we can do with this space and what God has blessed us with. So back to the presentation, I have a couple of before and afters, and we'll get that video posted somewhere where it's accessible and you can you know, watch it as many times as your heart desires. We did have fun with the music. That wasn't our first choice of music. Dave actually wanted to do like some Kiss sound or song. I said that probably wouldn't be appropriate. And then the one I came up with, I showed it to Jen, and it was like very triumphant. And Jen's like, "That's not gonna go well." So that's what we settled on. The other thing is, we thought it'd be important to put that to music, just because you know it gives a good feel to it. But before that, David was like, "Yeah, I'll just narrate over it while the video's going." And we thought, "No, let's just let it sink in with folks." Couple of other, one other before and after, just of the main hallway. You can see a lot of that video was of the main hallway and how that's completely changed. And like David said, don't pay too much attention to the exact fit and finish of things. You know, those decisions are yet to be decided, but it's really the bones of kind of that main entryway and what we're doing with the main hallway and really widening it out and back to the multi-purpose idea behind the building. You know, every part of the building will be built for, you know, multi-purpose and multifunctional. But we really wanted to open it up. We wanted to bring a lot of natural light into the space, and so we have a great opportunity to do that. So, again, this was just a taste of kind of how the ideas have come to fruition to date and where we're headed. And I want to tell you what to expect next. And, you know, part of my role here that I volunteered for is to help just be a communicator and communicate all the ideas that are coming around the building and the property and what we're doing and help us all make sense of that. So these are questions I had, you know, 2 years ago, and I felt like couldn't always be answered very clearly, or there was a lot of ambiguity, and maybe that's just kind of where we were in the journey, and that's okay. But I said, you know, I'll volunteer and I'll help us all try to make sense of this. So in January, you can expect an update where we can tell you how much is this going to cost. Obviously, to transform a building the size of ours, you have that, you know, that comes with a price tag. And so we're going to share what that is, or at least what we think that is. And then the next thing we're going to share is how are we going to fund it. We started a capital campaign program here a few years ago, pre-COVID. We kind of put that on pause. COVID was part of that, but also I think we as a church and as, you know, leadership and everybody had to kind of hone in our direction. The way I articulated is we're kind of on a little bit of a windy road. Now that road is really straightened out, and we have a really strong direction with where we're headed, and so we're going to restart, you know, our capital campaign. And I know some of you kind of put your giving on pause because you weren't quite sure what direction we were going, and some of you have continued to give. So the other thing I'll share in January is how much has been given to date and what have we been doing with those funds, because we have been using some of that for, you know, architect plans and other things. So we'll share more detail around that. The other thing I asked for is, when can we break ground, okay? If we're going to all get behind this great idea to transform our building, well, give us a tangible date. When can we break ground? When can we expect things to start happening here? And so we'll share more about that, as well as many other details and information that is important to you all. Details around the specific building plans, some of the drawings we have from the architect, and a lot of other great information. So the one thing we want to leave you all with today is, you know, what can you do between now and January? Well, of course, we can continue to pray. As Robin alluded to earlier, we're all humans. You know, everybody is trying to do their best and make good decisions. We all want to be great stewards of what God has blessed us with. And we also, at the same time, we do want to look to the distant future, even a future like 2030 or 2050, where some of us may not be in the room today, may not be around. You may have moved or whatever. But we all have been touched by our community. Well, or whatever. You know, I don't know. Don't want to be morbid, but we're not going to be here 100 years from now. I know that much. We've all been touched by this community and by this church and by the people here, and I want to keep it going, and I want to build something that will last, and I want to build something that maybe my kids can come back to and raise their families here if that's something that they want to do. So keep praying for the Spirit to lead us, to guide us, you know, and I say us. I mean, there are so many people who are involved in pulling something like this off, and we really need, you know, God's wisdom and guidance to continue to be embedded in all those decision makers and everything that we're doing. The second thing is just stay engaged, you know, ask a lot of questions. You know, part of my role here also will be to help answer those questions. And while I may not have the answer right away, I will do my best to go and find those answers for you. And again, clear out all the ambiguity and try to bring some clarity to all the things that are going into the building transformation here. So continue to ask questions, challenge us, please. And then the last thing is, you know, between now and January and when we decide to restart our campaign for the building, consider how, you know, we all can support financially. With that, I'll kick it back over to you, David.
Thank you. Last thing I'll say is the part about staying engaged and asking questions. The questionnaires, the family meetings that we had 2 years ago, we had 8 questions for you. The one question that was answered by every person we asked consistently was, will you stay engaged? And everybody that we talked to said yes. So you've committed to it. Please stay engaged. Ask questions. Roger Sedlicek called me one night. He wanted to talk for 30 minutes. We had a 30-minute free Zoom call. We had to. We got kicked off 3 times because we did it for an hour and a half. We will talk with you about anything. I have floor plans. Paul Wirt has floor plans. We will show them to you right after this if you want to talk about it. But we want you to stay involved with this. And if Paul's not on a vacation, he will be, but I'll be here with you. We will answer whatever questions you have. We're going to do this all in January, but if you want to talk now, we'll talk now, okay? Just like with vision. If you want to talk now about the vision and you didn't like everything you got here today that Robin's talking about and you want to talk more, we're going to talk more about it because this is what's driving us to serve God. Not the building, the vision and how we serve God. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Okay.
I turned off my mic, so you didn't hear me making snide remarks at David Bell. Hey, so that's that part. Let's jump back in here. We have a few minutes left, and I want to walk through the end of this. For those of you who are watching online, there's been some questions. We're going to make sure we email this out to you, as well as the slide deck from their slides that you didn't see, and the video. We'll make sure that's all available. We're going to email that out tomorrow. Look, this isn't going into effect until next year, the vision. So we have time. We have time. We want to do that. Our vision team worked quickly. I said, I want us to be done by the beginning of October, and we were done September 30th. So we had it on the October 1st, which is a feat, I'm telling you. It was a lot of Chick-fil-A, chicken mini biscuits, and coffee that we were worked over. So the Lord's chicken got us along. All right, so back to the vision document. So one thing that we want to make sure that we're doing, once again, it's not about the school is not the end goal. It is about spiritual impact. And so we want to make sure that we are open to how or ways that we can interact with those families. So we talked about a ministry research and development team. It could be named something else. You know, we love acronyms in this area. Who knows? We can call it, I don't know, I'm not going to make something up. But what we want to do is try new ideas and find different ways where we can follow the Spirit of God. So we have dual-income families that are bringing their kids to the school here, and you find out that the mom has no way to do laundry. And I know some wonderful ladies in our church who love to do laundry. Some of them do it for the Lamb Center. Some people, when there's a baptism, Miss Jane McLean washes that laundry every time. And I'm not putting a job on them, but maybe it's, hey, we found out that they need this. And with this building plan, we're going to put in a washer and dryer back there. And maybe they have the laundry done for these families and they come pick it up. I don't know. One thing that this team was tasked with constantly, I kept saying, stop trying to figure out the how. We can't figure out the how. There's 1,000 hows. Let's narrow down to the what. And so We want to try new ideas. We want to try opportunities to follow the Spirit, because we can get locked into, well, we've done this before, or, well, we've done that before, and it doesn't work. Okay, maybe not at that season. So this is something that we want to be about. This next paragraph is what I talked about this morning. As people changed by the gospel, we are intentional about creating multiple gatherings that encourage greater growth through biblical understanding, fostering relationships, and serving the needs of the people. What do we mean by creating multiple gatherings? We're very intentional about growth groups at this church. We talk about growth groups. We want you to be a part of a growth group. But we don't just say, here's all the growth groups. Pick one. Lisa Bosley finds out where you live. What's your family demographic like? All of these things. And she tries to put you in one that's where you are and fits your demographic in a lot of ways. We want to be intentional with that. We want to be intentional about our gatherings. So on Wednesday nights, you know, right now there's Wednesday, there's Celebrate Recovery Meets. That's a small group of people. Right now, Financial Peace University, I think, Stan, you guys are finishing this week, or you're done. This is it, last week. There's this group that studies the Bible. They listen to a podcast called Bema. You've seen it on the back of your bulletin. It's not a secret group. It's not a covert operation. You're welcome to join. But it's a group of people that listen to a podcast, and they come in and they talk about the podcast for a little bit. James Hinckley leads that. And it turns into a rich, robust Bible study discussion. But what if we also provided more spaces for other things, where we're intentional about saying we care about fostering relationships? I talked about biblical understanding, and all of those things happen best in community, and we say this is important for us, but we also are intentional about providing community care. And I'm not saying this all does on Wednesday nights. We have gatherings on Tuesday nights. Phil has a prayer retreat that happens on Tuesday nights. There are people that have Bible studies in their homes during the week. There's a ladies' Bible study every Tuesday morning, ladies. If you're free, you should come. We want to be intentional about creating these spaces and not just be like, yes, we want to see grassroots efforts. Those are the best. But we also want to say, hey, we're intentional about growth groups. We're going to be intentional about creating gatherings and supporting. How can we support those gatherings? We have nurtured, in 2030, we want to say that we've nurtured spiritual maturity by utilizing spiritual gifts. Talked about that this morning. Training teachers and equipping leaders. Phil does a tremendous job providing resources for those who are teaching Bible classes. Lisa has stuff for growth group leaders, but we want to make sure that we are doing that constantly. Also, when we have growth groups, that growth groups aren't getting to the point that there are 60 people and we're like, this is normal. No, we want to train and equip the leaders so that they go, hey, we've hit this number. Let's go birth another group so that we can invite more people into community. We want to be intentional about that and not just let things happen, happenstance. So those are things that we're looking for. How is that going to happen? I'm throwing out ideas, but it's going to be up to our ministry leaders and our ministry teams to come together and sit and let's say, okay, how are we shooting for this in the next year? This is where we want to do. What does that look like? And we put this last paragraph because we wanted to make sure that we declare who we are. And it's very Trinitarian in what it says. We want to make sure that we say this is, because the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit exist in perfect community. Community is what we want to see happen as followers of Jesus. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, this is a church led by Christ, dedicated to transforming lives and advancing the kingdom of God. And so as we end today, I know that you probably have a lot of questions, and maybe I confused you more than helped you. What this vision document is, it's in draft stage. We want to hear from you, but what this is saying, here's the direction we're going. And we don't want it to be ambiguous. We want it to say, here's where we're going, and let's figure out how we're going to get there. So it's not over. It's not like, okay, here it is, magic bullet. It is, here's where we're going. Now let's figure out the how. And your importance is because you're a part of that. I had a really cool video I was going to play. It's too long, but it's from the 50th anniversary. You can find that, I think, on our YouTube channel. But when I made this, I'll talk slower. When I made this video, we had interviews with people who had who'd grown up in this church. Ed and Ozella Cox, who were here when this church was being built. And there was footage on this video. Mr. Paul Baker's in there. Some people who are no longer here with us. Ms. Dean Stone is on that video talking about this place. Some of you don't even know who that is, and you missed out. Some of the best hugs I've ever had in my life came from her. And what was evident in there, there's video footage of this before this building, this part where you were sitting existed. And it's old footage. In fact, it shows worship in the old auditorium. You can actually spot a Cain brother in there if you're looking good enough. Gamble on knowing which one it is. But the beauty of that is, it's a reminder that this church is a history, has a history of men and women who had vision. Men and women who wouldn't settle for good enough. And they kept their eyes focused on Jesus. And the same spirit that lived in them lives in you and me. And so the question is not, will we boldly? The question is, will we boldly show Jesus? Not just with our mouths, but with our lives and our actions. And so over the next several weeks, we want to hear your feedback. You can speak to us in person. You can talk to any of the elders. You can talk to me. I set up an email address that you can just email, vision@fxcc.org. You can send that. It's better if you do it in person, but if you can't and you want to email, if you're online and you want to email, we'll have that available. But here's what we want your feedback, man, but we want you to pray. And some of you are like, I'm not as physical as I used to be. I can't do this and this and this, but you can pray. Every one of us can. And that's been our prayer through this whole process, the vision team and the elders and everyone else involved, is God, guide our steps. God, guide our thoughts. Help us to reflect you in our communities. And so the vision is going to begin in 2024. It takes us all. We're going to use our gifts. We're going to use our resources. But we are trusting in God to transform our communities. And so I just want to pray over all of us today. The buzzword that comes into that when we talk about, I said at the beginning of my sermon today, is family. We have such a beautiful family that meets here. Family can be hard for a lot of people, but it also can be really good memories for a lot of other people. But in this place, this is a family of believers. And we have a whole world out there that is looking for identity and they're looking for family. We can be that to our communities. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this family that we have been a part of and that we are blessed to be a part of. And we all have different opinions and we're all different minds, but Father, we have the same spirit. Father, my prayer is that you help us take those opinions and take those ideas and we use them for your glory. Some are great and it may not be the season for them. Some are not so great, but we need them. I'm thankful for the people in this family. I'm thankful for this, the ones who are here, the ones who are online. God, we are richly, richly blessed by the people here. I pray that you will work through the next several weeks as we receive feedback, as the elders provide some feedback as well. And that as we start talking about the how and we start talking about details for the next year and chasing and working towards 2030, that you will guide our steps, not for the glory of Fairfax, not for the glory of any person who worships or works here, but for the glory of the one who gave it all away. I pray, Father, that that be our guiding force. May your spirit lead us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.